you want to go ahead and turn over to Psalm 110. We're going to just read some scripture tonight, and we'll have Bill Spahn and Bill Sr. and Dan come up after and read from Hebrews. Psalm 110, a lot of the verses in there you might recognize seeing quoted in other places in the New Testament if you're not completely familiar with Psalm 10. It's quoted quite frequently. And some have said that the book of Hebrews could actually be a commentary for Psalm 110. So that's why we're going to go to Hebrews and look at some of these passages and see how these ideas are actually explained there. But let's go ahead and read Psalm 110, all seven verses. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. This morning, we spent some time talking about the evilness and the darkness that we're seeing more and more in this world that we live in here in America, right? But when we look up and pick our heads up and look around at everything else going around in the world, there's a lot of things going on in the world that are a lot worse than what we're seeing here. But really, is that hard to imagine when we live in this fallen, broken world? But thankfully, God has done something about that. And Andrew's prayer was really a good introduction for what we're going to talk about tonight when he talked about how God sent his son to close that gap that was created by our sin to bring us back in that right relationship with him. He provided that salvation for us. And that's what the gospel's all about, right? That God has built a new kingdom where we can escape the evilness and the corruption and the darkness of this world. And in his kingdom, we can find refuge and safety and peace forever. And his son is the king of that kingdom. Amen. He rules over all the nations. He is the king of kings and the lord of lords. But he's not just a king. He's also a high priest. And he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we don't know much about Melchizedek, but when you go to Genesis chapter 14, we see him as Abraham is coming back from a raiding party, fighting for his family, and he runs into this man, Melchizedek, and he says that he's the holy man of God, a holy priest of God. And Abraham offers tithing to this man, and Melchizedek blesses him. When you sneeze, does the person bless you or do you bless them? I know it's a silly illustration, but the other person blesses you. The greater person gets the blessing, right? So Melchizedek was greater. And to the Jews, Abraham was the greatest that there was, right? As they look back, that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham because we saw Abraham giving him the tithe. So he's our Lord Jesus is a king. He's a priest. But he's also a judge. And a day is coming where he will judge the nations. And so we need to make sure that we have bent our knee in subjection to him and obey him. And when we look at all the wonderful things and the mighty things that God has done for us to bring us back into the right relationship with him, why wouldn't we bend our knee to Jesus Christ? So we're going to go ahead and read from Hebrews.
Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Before I read, how great do you think an angel is? I don't think anybody here has seen one. Certainly people in the scriptures are described as seeing angels, and they are awesome. They are more awesome than in their full glory. Man can't really stand it. And you think about how wonderful and awesome and amazing and great an angel is. And yet in Hebrews chapter 1, we see that they're nothing compared to what the Son is and the relationship the Son has with God and how wonderful and awesome he is. And so that's kind of the perspective here of Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 14, as we think about who it is that God sent down to this world to take our punishment. It was his Son. Verse 1, chapter 1 of Hebrews. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And all of the angels, he says, who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. And thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They will perish, but thou remains. They all will become old as a garment, as a mantle thou will roll them up. As a garment they will also be changed, but thou art the same. And thy years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation?"
You want to open your Bibles, turn it to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll start in verse 14, and we'll read down through Hebrews 5:10. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in help in times of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself is also beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins, as for the people, so also for himself. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who says to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,' just as it says in another passage, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek."
Hebrews 6, 13 through 20, I'll be reading from the New American Standard. "For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you.' And thus, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as a confirmation is the end of every dispute. In the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope that is sure and steadfast and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Pretty quick reading tonight. If you'd like to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, though, and what I'm hoping is that maybe tonight we've perked your interest in some of these scriptures. I don't know what your scripture daily reading is going to be this week, but maybe open Psalm 110 and then go to the book of Hebrews and go back to each of these and read through them and see how they connect and think about all the wondrous things that God has done for us, the great work that he's done to bring us this salvation. Focus and meditate on what Jesus did on the cross for us, dying for our sins, so that we could be back in a right relationship with God. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated him with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have such a wonderful God, and the love and the grace and the mercy that he has shown us is something that we need to meditate on daily so that we can draw closer to him and look in his word and see how great our God is and increase our love for him as we look at the mighty, wonderful things that he has done in our life through his son, Jesus Christ. If we can help you tonight with anything, why don't you come forward as we stand, as we sing.